wonder how many are planning on going to the Oklahoma City meeting. You know, your plans can change, but okay. I've turned in. Have y'all looked on the? No, on Facebook, on the church website. I posted on there a couple of weeks ago. Those of you that raised your hand to volunteer to work in the meeting, Sister Robin sent me your names and where she had you scheduled to work. So if you didn't look at that, you might ought to look at it, or maybe Brother Painter could copy it for us and we could get it on the bulletin board or something. But I know that they're appreciative of all that, everyone coming, and I know there's several assemblies that are volunteering, and they also understand that people who plan on going, sometimes things happen, they don't actually wind up getting to go, and then people who don't plan on going actually wind up getting to go. So it changes some as time goes on. But anyway, we probably ought to let them know if you were raised your hands to possibly go and help volunteer work at the meeting, then if you're not going to go, we probably ought to let them know. It starts November the 4th and goes through the 7th. Starts Tuesday night and goes through Friday. It's over Friday afternoon. So that's the... And then, Brother Painter, if you would look at the campground website, the new, since Brother York had his surgery. And by the way, it's good to have Brother York back, isn't it? Appreciate him. God gave him to us for a few more years, and Sister Sandra's a benefactor of it. And the girls. But, the campground meeting list, since Brother Jerry had his surgery, I didn't go to the campground. I stayed back for that, but I did have them put our 2016 minister meeting dates on the meeting list. So maybe you can copy that list and or upgrade ours with whatever they put new on the meeting list. I'm thinking, I've got it. It's October of 2016, I believe. October 25th through the 28th. So I know that's 2016, but nowadays you've got to get in early. Some of the men were asking me to have a meeting that year, and some of the brethren. So anyway, I'm just letting you know that as far as the meeting list is concerned, this coming year, 2015, we've got 7 general meetings, which we promised we'd hold it to 6. Maybe we can adjust that or something in Oklahoma City. I don't know. But this will be the last meeting this year. And Brother Emilio Green, Brother Elias Ciprian is coming. And Brother Miguel Alonso from the Dominican Republic is coming to that meeting. Brother Elias and Brother Miguel's in Delaware this weekend. They'll be here till after the Oklahoma City meeting, but there's the church that we have in Delaware. That church is there may be a few Dominicans in it, but it's basically a church of, there are people there from Ecuador and trying to think, there may be a couple from Mexico and I'm even thinking there may be a couple from Chile in that church. But anyway, that church, Elias has been working with that church now for a few years, and there's a new pastor in that church, Brother Martinez. I haven't met him in person, but I've talked to him on the phone, and he speaks English. I can't even tell he's got a Latin American accent. That's how well of English he's got. He owns an electric company there in Delaware. And so, anyway, he's coming to the Oklahoma City meeting. And so I'm looking forward to those brethren being able to be in this last meeting this year. Then Brother Painter and I were talking between Bible study and the service today about the our fall festival. And the only date we've got really available is Saturday, November the 22nd. All the other weekends are taken up with something between now and then. So we'll have a fall festival here at the church on November the 20th. It's a Saturday. We'll see if we can get some of the brethren to bring their barbecue pits and get the gym open for everybody, and maybe we can have enough old and young to put together a couple of volleyball teams or something. And anyway, just have a little feast day and a time to get together and fellowship. So it should be cool enough for the gym and everything. And so feel free to invite friends and family and whoever, you know, to come and be a part of it with us. And so just want to get that announced. Isn't that right? The November the 22nd, which is a Saturday. And then the 1st of November, which would be the Saturday before the meeting. Is that right? Next Saturday is Brother Caleb and Sister Hannah's, what did you call that? Pre-wedding reception, get together. And so I don't know if they've got do they have some kind of what do you call it, registry? Target, Walmart, and Bed Bath & Beyond. Where do they find that at? The registry. In those places? See, I don't even know how to do that. I have to ask somebody. But all you got to do is ask. Just ask some young person. They'll tell you how to do it. That's what I've learned. If you've got a cell phone, you don't know how to operate it, give it to a kid about 3 or 4 years old. They show you how to operate it. Yeah, Isabel and Elizabeth, they can show you how to do it. Good to have Brother Anthony back home. He's been tied up in business and sickness too. Sure, good to see him back with us today, and appreciate that. And Sister Ann's, good to have you home. She's off on business last weekend. You might have been here Wednesday night, but I wasn't here, so I'm just trying to recognize those. And, yeah, it's good to be back. Brother Stewart, he's been in the fair. That's his business, comes out of the biggest part of it, probably comes from the fair and the home and garden shows. And so he told me he had a good show, so I'm thankful for that, because we've been praying. God had blessed him in that. And Sister Sherry, did you or Brother Mark testify? Huh? Oh, you was watching my mom. You know, last weekend I told y'all to pray for Brother Mark that he had his trailer for sale, and he's been short on getting in 40 hours a week. His boss, they've been, you know, just running slow on in their business. So last Sunday morning, we requested prayer that he had this travel trailer for sale. I said, let's pray and sell it. And that afternoon, he sold it for more money than he gave for it. So thank God for that. God blessed him. That's just a good testimony of God answering prayer. I think God ought to get credit for everything good. Whatever it is. I don't care if you get sick and go to the doctor and have to take Mucinex and Tylenol and everything else to get well. If you got well, you ought to thank God. He's the one that put all this medicine in these doctors' minds. If it's good, God made it. He made everything. And so if we get some good out of whatever we get good out of, he ought to get the credit, in my opinion. I give him thanks for everything. And sometimes it's hard to give thanks for the trials, but generally after they're over, we can see God's mind in it and be thankful. And so we can try by faith to be thankful for whatever we're going through. Just thankful that we're still able to go through things and depend on God for whatever it is in life that we're facing. So let's just have service today and see what God will do here. And let's reach out to him. I know he'll reach back to us. Brother Michael and Sister Cindy's out of town this weekend, so Brother McGowan's doing the honors.
Whispers in my ear, child, I hear. Are you sure? Lord, are you sure? do. Then he whispers in my ear, child, I hear and I see you. I know what you're going through. I know what you need. Oh, just be still. Yes, hold still. Don't move. Thank you.
You know, I can't get away from here without giving God a praise. I can't do it. I've got to let him know how much that I do appreciate. He's always there when things really get tough. He comes in. You know, I do. I'm like Brother Smith said. Every little thing that God, because of technology, God has allowed the doctors to have. And I appreciate that. You know, because, my doctor said, you ain't leaving here without having this surgery. I said, because you won't make it. And I knew it. I really did. But, you know, the good part about it was, he said, I know the surgeon you need. And I said, get him. You know, then it took a week for them to, he said, we want to make sure the medication, the blood thinners, I was taking some pretty potent stuff, I guess, because it took a week for that to get out of my system. So when they started cutting on me, I wouldn't bleed to death. And so, you know, and then I began to pray, Lord, you know, I kind of had my doubts about coming out the other side of it. You know, and then I began to pray. I said, Lord, take care of my family. You know what he done for me? A few days before the surgery, I was thinking about it, and God just come down and give me such a peace. And, you know, he let me know. He said, you're going to come out the other side of this. You know, it wasn't that I was wanting to go to heaven so quick. You know, I thought, God, I said, but if it's your will. But he gave me a peace in my soul that let me know that I was coming out the other side. And, you know, I told my doctor, my surgeon, I said, I've got all trust in you. I put my life in your hands. And he said, thank you. I said, I trust you 100%. And I said, but I have faith in God. I said, I do. I said, but I have my trust in you too. And, you know, they were good to me there at that hospital from the day one to the day I left. I want to thank all you people for being there for me, for your support, and most of all, your prayer. Because there is power in prayer. There is. Because it's happened so many times. You know, I was down in ICU, and I woke up. Of course, I'd wake up about every 15, 20 minutes, just all night long. Just, you can't rest in one of them hospital beds, I can assure you of that. And so I'd get up and set up and stuff, and I was laying there, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I heard one of them little nurses say, she said, when I'd go in the waiting room, she said, I'd ask them, or something. Anyway, she said, well, who are you here for? Well, Mr. York. She said, almost everybody I ask, who were you there for? They'd say, Mr. York. She said, what is Mr. York? I mean, like, you know, I thought, you know, man, I said, I love that support. I said, I appreciate those people so much. If I could have got up and told that woman, it's God, you know. But they were good to me. They really were. I appreciate it so much. I just wanted you guys to know that, because there is power in prayer, that there is. God can answer. I don't care how big and how little it is, and I don't care what the situation is. Sometimes we, if we just take our hands off of it and just stand back and say, God, here it is, and accept the situation whichever way it goes. Not only that, but in other things, God can answer prayer. I believe that. He's done that for me many a time. I was laying there. I thought, Lord, you know, I'll tell you this too. When I came out of surgery, this is a strange feeling. I kind of woke up, but I hadn't, the anesthetics, whatever you call it, hadn't wore off of me yet. And they still had a breathing tube down in me, and they still had tape over my eyes. And I came to, I woke up, but I could not move. I could not move a finger, a toe. I couldn't move anything. And they were still stitching me up right here where they had tubes in me, because you could feel them pulling on me. And I was trying to yell at them. I was trying to wiggle my fingers. I was trying to move my eyes back and forth. I wanted to know, to let them know I was awake. And whatever they were doing to me, it hurt. But I couldn't do nothing. All I could do was just lay there. And I felt them. I heard a nurse on this side saying something. Heard a guy on this side say something, and one behind me was saying something, and they were talking, and then I felt them get a hold of every corner of whatever I was laying on and raise me up and stuck me in the bed, you know, and then they were doing different things to me, and then I was able, just the only thing I could do was move my eyes back and forth, and then I felt them take the tape off my eyes. Now, if you don't think that ain't a funny feeling, not even being able to breathe, this thing is breathing, I mean, doing the breathing for you down inside of you, in your lungs, and you can tell you're not even breathing. That's a funny feeling. They have got some powerful stuff. Whatever it is, they can put you out if they want to. You ain't got no control of it. Well, anyway, I told the anesthesiologist, and about 2 or 3 days later, he come down there. He was asking me, and I said, look, I said, I don't care what you did. It doesn't matter to me. I said, I'm alive. I said, and I said, where I woke up at was when you guys brought me back to the bed. I said, I didn't wake up in surgery. I said, but I said, I woke up when you guys brought me back down. And I said, I just woke up just a few minutes early. But he said, boy, I'm sorry. I said, I ain't worried about it. I said, you guys help me. I said, I really do appreciate it. I do. I think we've got some good surgeons out there that are very dedicated, very good staff and all that. But my trust is in God. I trust God fully. I want to trust Him more. And we can trust Him more. Just let God lead us and direct us. I appreciate this church so much. The prayers that went up for me, you know, there was a man on the other side. there was a nurse that would come there, and when she'd come on duty, he'd find out, but he would start yelling her name over and over and over again. It almost drove me nuts. I was almost there anyway, and I said, what is the matter with that guy? He said, well, he came here from a nursing home, and he don't have any family. I said, poor guy. I said, I wish, you know, I said, you know, help him. Boy, if you want to feel like your priorities can go plumb down to we're nothing, go to the hospital for a while. It'll take your priorities back to where, when I got my driving privileges back, I thought I'd done something. I remember we went and went to see the surgeon, and there was another guy. He was a little bit over me. That was the first thing he asked that doctor, "Can I drive?" Well, I don't know what it is about men and driving, but, you know, but that's a part of it, I guess. But I do want to say I love the Lord. I appreciate God. I appreciate God, and I appreciate the sweet Holy Ghost. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. I love Him, and I want Him to know that. I want God to know that I appreciate the things that He brought me through, but He brought me out the other side. He brought me out the other side. Now, I may not be up and running just yet, but this motor is revving up in the parking lot. It's almost ready to go. I've been gunning my motor, seeing if everything is together, and see if it's all tied together. I don't know how many RPMs I've got it up to just yet. Maybe a couple of thousand RPMs. I don't know yet, but I do bring it down so it don't overheat. You know, I do know that, and I want to see if it's got water. You know, I don't want to blow a radiator before this starts out. But I'm almost ready to run again. You know, I want to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use me, because I feel like He kept me here not just to run around and don't know what I'm doing like a duck out of water or whatever, but I think He kept me here for a reason. And He wants me to work for Him. And if I can, I'll try to work some more. You know, I may have to wire up something or get some electric or something somewhere here and there, but I'll do my best. I'll do my best. And you know, another thing I've got just run through my mind a whole lot. I think maybe I may have laid up a few prayers for myself when I was washing dishes. I don't mind washing dishes. I really don't. I don't mind scrubbing pots and pans if it'll get me out the other side. You know, I appreciate that, Lord. I do. So pray for us. Pray for our family. We need it. We're just beginning. Thank you, Lord.
Glad to have you here. I missed Bible study this morning, so I don't know exactly where to tie on that. But I have a good reason. I want you to know my reason. I may not have a good reason every Sunday. But you know, this morning, I stopped at Walmart to buy some pies. And on my way out, this lady, there used to be a little restaurant over on Arch Street called the Dinner Bell. I don't know how many of y'all remember that. But that lady that ran that place, she worked hard. I mean, real hard. And her mama was in there. And my sons and I would go in there when we could. And they had good gravy and biscuits. Oh, it was good. I mean, we just kind of fell in love with them people, that lady and her mama. And her mama would talk to us like she knew us. I mean, had known us all of her life. And that was a drawing card. Let me throw this in there. It's kind of like a commercial. But that was a drawing card. Brother Paul and I was talking. You know, that's what draws people's love. That couple that I sit back here beside, I don't know if they're going to come back or not. I went down to the house, knocked on the door. Didn't get an answer. That lady that used to run this place over here, she works at Walmart now. And I seen her, and I said, well, hello there. Well, you know, just small talk. That's all it was. And I always enjoy seeing her. She works as hard there as she did over here. But the work got so hard over there, she couldn't handle it. So she closed it down. Well, I was dressed in my suit, and I was standing there holding them pies. And she said, well, I see you're going to chow down today. And I said, well, no. And so I told her why I had the pies. And she said, you really look good when you're dressed up. I said, yeah, I'm going to church. Well, I don't know. You know, you never can tell. You're witnessing to people when you're just talking. She said, where do you go to church at? Because, see, every time I've talked to this woman, I always talk about that restaurant, how my boys enjoyed the food. And her mama was always so sweet, but she's lost her mom now. And come to find out, she just got married about a year ago. First time she's ever been married. But we always talk. And evidently, that has made an impression on this woman. And Brother Paul and I was talking about that. You know, he goes into people's homes and works on their homes. And he was telling me about, you know, we got to show love to people. They may never show up here. They may not ever show up in any church. But if we just show love to them people, it makes an impression on them. And so she asked me, where do you go to church at? So I told her where it was. She said, well, is that a big church? I said, well, we've got a building that's a little bit bigger than probably we are. And I said, but we're just people. I said, that's all we are. We're just people. We just love people. She said, I'm going to come see y'all. I said, well, you just come on down here and see us. But the point I'm making is you witness to people when you're just being a light, when you're just letting your light shine. And I was talking to Brother Paul about he goes in people's homes. I've got a friend that worked at Wastewater that some people hired him to do some work in their house. And the reason they did that is they knew that man is the kind of man you could lay your wallet down with money sticking out of it, and that man won't touch it. He will not touch it. He's a church-going man. And he told me, he said, Paul, that stuff's not mine. I'm not taking it. He said, if it ain't mine, I don't want it. People get to know us for that. They know that if we're the kind of people, and I want to be, I think I am, I'm trying to be, the kind of person that's honest as day is long. I want to be. You know, I want to be the kind of man that can walk through y'all's house and money be laying everywhere and it ain't mine. It's not mine. It belongs to my brother, my sister, or somebody else. And I don't touch it. Don't touch it. It's not mine. But they hired this man because they knew he was that kind of man. And Brother Paul is telling me that, you know, he's worked for different people and he's been able to witness to them and never said a word. Never said a word about God. He lets them bring it up. Anyway, so the point I was trying to make with all this is, Brother York, I'm glad to have you back with us. And I was thinking on the way to church, I want to be a part of good people. You know, we don't really know one another because we're not with each other 7 days a week. But Brother Smith was talking some time back. He said, we've got to adjust our life to where Monday through Saturday is just like Sunday. You know, and I was joking. I said, yeah, if we're mean all them other days, we've got to be mean on Sunday. Well, more than likely, we probably are mean on Sunday. But we want to be the kind of person that people can look at, and they may never dart these doors, or they may, but they got to have strength from somewhere. And they may not know Jesus, but they know us. Brother York, people know you. You have got work to do. Just being yourself. Well, I mean, I'll take that back. Yes, being yourself, Brother Smith has explained to us, you know, the way we think is what we are. When we get to heaven, that's what we'll be. But we're trying to get rid of ourselves and trying to be like Jesus. Anyway, I'm just happy to be here today. I came to church today feeling so good. I ride down the road thinking, I want to be a part of good people. And then I sat down up there beside Brother Matthew. Brother Matthew evidently had a good spirit. Evidently, he blew it on his horn. And I just felt that feeling. That wonderful feeling that only God can give. That wonderful feeling that comes down from above. That peace that you felt, Brother York, when you was in that hospital. We can feel that every day. Feel it every day when we're driving down the road and tempted to splash people. Now, it's rained on me since then. But Brother York, Brother Smith's message has haunted me. I haven't had the opportunity to fully put that into practice. But I can't be a light, you know, if I can't stop and witness to people about the Lord and invite them to church. Somebody's messed up somewhere. I'm just happy to be here. This is such a good feeling here today. It feels so good. Who gave me this mic? Brother Painter? Oh, it feels so good here today. God is so good. We can just enjoy this wonderful feeling. Just sit here to enjoy it. God is good.
All right. Praise
It's good to be back home. I didn't realize I needed that rest that I got till I got back home. And I just had such a different feeling taking care of Mom. I was just kissing her and, you know, I just, and everything, going out there loving on my dogs. And, you know, I just a couple of days was just, you know, really good. I just probably need to do it more often. But when he was talking about being a light, and I've always, you know, I gave him my testimony about how when I was a little girl, I didn't want to be Pentecostal because I thought long face, long sleeves, no money. So when I go anywhere, I try to make sure I'm smiling. And then when I leave, I think, was my spirit good? You know, because I could have a headache or just thinking about something else or... People said if I'm not smiling, I look mad. So, but yesterday I was in Bryant, and I have a favorite place. I like to get a pedicure. And so I made an appointment, went there. I had to make an appointment on Saturdays. And I was sitting there getting my pedicure, and this older lady came sit beside me. I looked at her, and I thought, she's a Christian. And I thought, I wonder if people see that when they see me. I knew she was a Christian. She sat beside me, and we got talking about always care. She's little, and she kept caring. She was about in her 70s, I guess, and she had her little sweater with her, and just dressed real nice. And I'm just admiring how neat and clean, and you know, she looked. She just had a way about her, and because a lot of times you go places and they're not Christians, and you know what all they're wearing and the tattoos and stuff, and she's sitting there and. So I said, we were talking about little people getting cold easy and stuff. And then we got talking, and I said, where do you go to church? And she said, I'm a Southern Baptist. I said, oh, good old Baptist girl. And she said, well, where do you go? And I said, I go to First Gospel over there on Kern and Glenn. She goes, oh, I know where that's at. I said, have you always been, you've always been a Christian, haven't you? And she said, yes, I have. My dad was a deacon in the Baptist church, and I've never left. And we got talking, and she's telling me about her business, that she still work. They still work in their business. They have a printing company. And then she got to ask me questions, so I gave her my testimony from a small child all the way up to where I got saved. She had tears in her eyes, and she said, I'm scared right now. I think God had me sit here because I'm having some colon problems. And I want you to pray for me this week. And I want your email address because I want to contact you. And then we got talking some more. And she's my neighbor. And they're on the printing company there on Arch Street. But I thought, I knew she was a Christian, not by her hairdo, not. She was dressed very modest, so, but the way she carried herself, the way she acted, and I thought, I hope. You never know how people perceive you. I hope people get around me that don't know me and say, people know me, they wonder if I'm a Christian, but people... No. Anyway. But you know, you want to be an example when you go out, and sometimes you're in a hurry, and you know, and you forget to say thank you or excuse me, or I don't know. That just it blessed me that she asked me to pray for her. She has never been in the world. She's raised Southern Baptist. That was Pentecostal without the Holy Ghost. I mean, she lived a strict life, and you could tell that, and, you know, they went on to her. She's telling all her kids are in church, and I just enjoyed talking to her. She said, I felt like God put us together today. We had such good fellowship, and that's what Brother Paul is talking about, loving people. And one time I was in Walmart. This is before I moved here. I was in Republic. And every time I went down this aisle, there was this couple. I mean, half their hair shaved and tattoos everywhere and rings everywhere. And I thought, so I wasn't trying to get away from them, but I wasn't trying to run into them either. And they had these little kids. A thought went through my mind, poor babies, you know. And I went on, and then I turned, and there they were again. And then we went, then I was standing in line at the pharmacy, and they were standing in line, and I was looking at them. I wasn't really thinking anything bad, and I was just thinking about the world the way it thinks now. You know, they don't think the way we think, the way they dress and act and carry themselves, but I was watching her with her children, and I thought, she loves those babies. And God spoke to my mind, and he said, I want you to look at them the way I look at them. When you go somewhere, don't look at them the way man looks at them. I don't look at them like that. I'm looking at something else. And that... I made out a way to smile and say hi to them. I mean, it wasn't being ugly or self-righteous. I was just thinking about today's time, and God spoke to me. And it really helped me, because it's hard, especially in your family. It's hard when you see that they don't want to live this way or anything. But I just want to appreciate being home and the rest that I got, and it was very good for me, and I appreciate everyone here.
Is it on? Okay. I can't hear it. Usually, on a daily basis, Brother Weiniger and I go walking in the mall. And one day we were feeling a little poorly. Took a break, sit down next to the restroom, and there's this one guard that we associate with every day. And he seems like a pretty godly man. He come along, he says, having a bad day? I said, yeah, we just not really feeling the best. And he laid his hands on us and prayed for us. And I thought, wow, this is really special. And every day we see him, we greet him, we talk to him. And the other day we were walking through there, and he had another man with him. And we stopped, and we started a conversation, and quickly turned to church and God and scriptures. And this went on for, almost a half hour. And I could feel God, the Spirit was moving. And it was like we had church there for a half hour. Really made our day. And, the mall is the worst place I want to go. I don't like to be in crowds. And not everything that goes on there is really worthwhile. But, we get there before all the stores open. We do our walk, and hopefully a little friendly, godly conversation, and then we go on our way. But, you never know who you're going to meet or what you're going to come across. Somebody may need a good word from you, or you may need a good word from them, or you may just end up having church right where you're at. And lo and behold, it happens. So I look forward to it. It actually keeps some of us kind of lubricated and motivated. God bless.
Whenever I met him, he told me, he said, I hope you're not a mall girl. I said, oh, I'm not. I said, I like to shop. I like to go places. But he said, because I don't like the mall. So I've never taken him to the mall, but Brother Glenn does regularly. And he likes it. So I said, well, that's a switch. But they've met some people out there that they've touched their lives and they've touched them. I just want to say that Sister Ann is not a self-righteous person, or she would not see God in people that don't believe like we do. I think that's good. I think that's a godly thing, that we know that Jesus deals with our hearts. He looks on the inner man, and he sees things we don't see. We probably would just pass over half of us, if it was up to us. But God loves us. He loves us so much that he came down and shed his blood for us so that we would have a chance at a hope and a better life than what's on this earth. Life is going to hell on this earth right now. It really is. I mean, I pick up cans because I'm stressed out a lot, and it gives me something to do when I'm out walking. I can't just walk and not do anything. I'm not a do-nothing person, and I don't like to waste my time. I feel like time is valuable. I try to make it count. So if y'all see me out picking up, I'm stressing out, and I'm trying to just walk it off. But God bless, God knows what we go through, and he knows what we stress through, and he's there to help us through it, and he's there to give us a mind to work through it, and I thank God for that. But I was walking the other day, and somebody saw me, and they don't go to church. They said, Debbie, I saw you out the other day, and I said, yeah. I said, I was probably stressing out and praying for my family and praying for people. And I said, I do that, and I talk to God when I'm doing that. And they said, well, Debbie, you're one of the most godliest people I know. And I said, well, I know people probably wouldn't say that. And she said, I wish I could go to church where you go. She said, it must have really done something for your life, because she said, every time I see you or talk to you, I know. And they're kids that grew up and they're on drugs, but they love me, and I appreciate that they see God in my life somehow. I think I'm one of the world's worst examples, and I pray that God uses my life. I pray that He does. But I'm very condemning of myself. I feel like I never measure up. But God saw something in me. I don't know. He became my mother at a very young age. At 7, my mama got killed, and I just started turning to Him. And my doctor says, you don't hate God? And I said, no. I said, I couldn't have made it without Him. I said, I feel like He's raised me. And I said, I've got good people and good church. And I said, I really love God. I said, I don't know. I feel like all my life, I know when I was in high school, I used to play basketball, and I'd say, Jesus, help me make that basket. You know, I mean, I've just always talked to Him, because ever since my mama died, that's all I had, I felt. I had a good dad, and I thank God for that. He was not a man who attended church. He made sure I got to go, and I went by myself. I got on my bicycle, and I rode to church, and He gave me a dime to put in the service. He said, you need to put money in the offering. I think God will bless him one day for that, because he planted something in my heart. And I thank God for having a good earthly dad, because they really affect you in this world. Being a good dad is a very important job. Being a good mom is a very important job. And a lot of times we don't understand it when we're going through it. We don't realize how important it is, but we're shaping other lives. We're giving other people hope growing up. My children, my grandchildren are not here right now, Steve's, but I pray that something we've done or something y'all have done has planted a seed in their heart, because they know of our people here. They've been raised around it. They know. And they know that we're still here and that we really have found something. And I just pray that they find Jesus through all this. There's a lot of people out in the world right now that are not in the body, but God will find something in their heart He can use. And I think He'll draw them with His Spirit. And I pray for that. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I don't know. Brother Smith is trying to paint a picture for us, give us something to look forward to and something to hope for. And I appreciate the Bible study that we have in the morning, because since I've been coming to Bible study, it's opened up some new things to me that I didn't even understand in the Bible, and I didn't know I didn't understand it. But I thank God for a vision. I thank God for understanding His word, because it is a living word. And I see the word evolving as time goes by. I see more of it opening up and coming to light. And Brother Smith is opening up some new things that I've not been taught on before. And I do appreciate it. And I'm trying to learn from him and the ministry that's in charge now. I've come up through several ministers, and God has protected me through all that. I think there were things that happened. There was falling away and stuff like that. But I appreciate that God kept His hand on me. I could not be here today. I could not be here today. I'm so grateful and so thankful that God loves us enough to draw us with His Spirit. And you know, if there's even a little of God in us, I'm sure that if we're out in public or anything, that they'll feel God. And Sister Ann, I think you make me feel good when I see you. You're always smiling, and you make me feel safe. when I come to church, and I know you're doing good too, and God bless you for being here. I appreciate each and every one of you I'm getting to know. I miss some in church, and I'm sorry I've been sick lately. Y'all pray that God will give me strength to be here. I want to be here, and I want to do my part. And I thank God and thank y'all for allowing me to be here.
Good feeling in this church today, and good spirit that helps us to realize that that we do need God in our life. And I was thinking, listening to Brother Jerry give his testimony, I was thinking it's like a reality check that let us know, you know, that except God, you know, do something for us. And recognize that God is the one that's doing that is very important to us. And I remember, you know, when I found out what all he was up against, that it shook my faith. And to see God bring him through that, it's lifted my faith. So I'm thankful today that we can see God working in our lives and to see him. And that's what I want to do. I want to see God working, you know, among us. And you know, we talk about, you know, having faith in God, and we preach it. But it's one thing is to have it. And I remember somebody told a story, it may have been Brother Linegar, about this man that had this wheelbarrow, and he was going to push it across a tightrope. And he was talking, you know, different one was watching him, and he was asking him, did they believe he could do it? And they were telling him, oh, yeah, I believe you can do it. But he said, then his next statement he made was, then get in the wheelbarrow. You know, it's, you know, we can talk about things all day long, but you know, somewhere along the line, you know, we got to put our life on the line. And that's what this is all about, you know, serving God is, And it's a process, and we're learning. I'm learning to do that. You know, it helps me because something we come up against is difficult in life, difficult decision, difficult task that we have to go through, and we just have to realize that, you know, and like Jesus told the disciples when this man was blind, and they was asking him, what did he do? You know, what happened to him? Why was he blind? Did he is sin? And several questions I asked him about this man that was blind. He said, no, he didn't sin. He didn't, you know. It was just that so that God would be glorified. You know, sometimes things that it's going to only take God. You know, unless God do something about it, then, you know, it's not going to get done. So anyway, and that's what I like to do is be able to seek God. And realize that we need to have that witness, you know, that this was God. God did this, you know. And that's the greatest witness, is to be able to know that. And that helps us, you know, stay with us. It keeps us to going in the right direction. When things seem to have no answers for them, then when you knew that God was in that, the witness of God was there, it keeps you. It helps you up against other things, because, you know, when you go through something, you know that's not the only thing you ever go through. So it's going, when, like I said, next, you know, there's going to be other problems. So that will help you to go along with the next situation that you face. So anyway, it's good to be in church today, and good to be here to hear different ones talk about their lives and what God's doing for them, and to see that we're working together as a church, and I think it's encouraging. It just, I get encouraged, like Brother Paul said, you know, it's encouraging to see you know, what God, see God dealing with people. And that's what we seek for him, to deal with our lives. And that's what it's going to take. So anyway, it's good to be here. And we're going to pray that God will continue to help different ones. We got, I don't know if Smith mentioned different ones out of town. My wife's out of town. She's supposed to be back tonight, sometime tonight. And Brother Mike and Sister Cindy. And I don't know who else is from Sister Crow, yes.
Pray for the meeting in
Oklahoma City, yes.
I haven't had a meeting there in a lot of years.
Well, how come?
Touch them and help them.
Yes.
They hope this meeting and
yeah.
God touch the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
What the Lord has for
us. All right. And Sister Jamie is not here, so I didn't hear working. Okay. Wow. Yes, remember, Brother Mike's mom and two sisters, right? Kay and Karen. All right, remember those requests. Sister Abraham, your family. All right, remember Sister Abraham's family. All right, Sister Brother Larry, you've been sick all week. We heard that Wednesday night. Hopefully he'll maybe get to go back to work tomorrow. So. But keep praying for him. God's just saying. Your dad, okay. All right. Sister Ann. Dad, Sister Debbie. So I'll remember that. Yes, sir.
Probably request prayer for Brother Jacob, Sister Terry. I talked to him this week. He's really going through a trial on his job situation. One thing, he's got this defect in his eyesight where he's really going blind. And he really, the doctor's just about ready to take his driver's license away from him. And he's got this tunnel vision where he, especially at night, it's bad. And he doesn't have any peripheral vision. And and it's affecting his job. He works on a computer every day. And so he's even having difficulty on the job. Hired a new team leader, and which seems to be really down on him, and he's been sick. He's just going through a lot right now in his life, and he's seeking God for his, direction, what the Lord's really working, trying to work in his life. He's just under a lot of stress right now, and then he had a little car accident also on top of all this yesterday, and so We really need to hold him up in prayer. He's worthy of your prayers. This boy has been faithful in church all of his life. Pays his tithes, you know, was really a faithful and has been, you know, good man. So I really appreciate y'all praying for him. He's, you know, when you get in a situation where you just feel like everything's falling apart on you, well, you need the family of God to stand with you and lift you up and help you. And so
let's remember
them in prayer.
Oh, God. Yeah, God can help.
Also, Brother Emilio Green, I wish y'all would keep praying for him and his situation in the Dominican Republic. He's his church is doing good and he's doing good, but you know his marriage situation for several years now with Sister Edie. I mean, there I don't even know how many of you know that she left him and divorced him. And you know he really needs a wife, and he needs somebody to stand with him. But of course we're praying God to free him, you know, and make him free, and looks like the Lord is. But it's a trial on him, you know, and the church, his church too. It's hard on his church. So I appreciate you holding him up in your prayers.
All right. You said several of the brothers are going to be here at the Oklahoma meeting.
Yes, Brother Green and Brother Elias Ciprian, Brother Miguel Almazar, and Brother, I don't know if Brother Martinez, he's flying straight to the meeting. I don't know if he's going to come through here or not. But anyway, those brethren, they'll be here, I think, after the meeting. I don't think they're coming. I'm trying to work it out where they go straight there and then come here after the meeting. So anyway, keep the work in the Dominican in your prayers.
Keep praying for them. Brother Wanigan, I thought he had his hand up. All right, Brother Daniels. Still test running? Okay. So, Brother Daniel's sister, Linda, but Painter. Yes, sir. It's Demon. Pray for them.
Right.
He's getting some help, though, right? Okay. Pray, remember Brother Demon, Sister Painter's dad. All right, Sister. Sister Doris.
Is she still in the hospital, Sister? Rehab. Okay.
Okay. Remember Sister Doris? Go. Yeah. Pray for us. Brother Paul. Brother Johnson, yes. Remember him, his wife. Yes. All right. Anybody else? Any other? Just, you know, remember these needs and.
I might mention, yes. Brother Talley, since we're taking a little time here. This Brother Miguel is one of the main ministers in Brother Leah Ciprian's church. He's been working in Afghanistan as a dog trainer, training dogs for
military.
It's a company that trains dogs for the military, and he's been over in Afghanistan working dogs that he's trained, and they are trained to check all of everything that comes into the airport there, you know, as far as drugs, but also weapons and anything else that, you know, the military just want to make sure is not coming in there. But one of the complete dog team's contract ran out, and he was on that team, so he's back home. Well, he had paid about $25,000. They make good money over there on a home in the Dominican Republic. And it was the people were going to lose this home, so he paid the bank off. And in the contract, he owed the bank plus, I think it's 300,000 pesos, which is about $7,000 that he's got to pay the people before they move out and turn the house over to him. Well, his contract ended. He don't have a job. and he still owes $7,000 to get his house that he's already paid $25,000 on. So pray that God will help him. He speaks good English, and he's with Brother Elias in Delaware. And that church really needs somebody to help them understand the doctrine and order of the body. So they're hoping he can get a job over there and get his... He's got papers. He's got a work permit in the United States. So he's hoping he can get some kind of job that he could, you know, make enough money to pay off. He needs to make about $1,000 a month for at least 7 months. But we're hoping that he can help that church get established over there. So, anyway, pray God to make a way for Brother Miguel. He's a good man, and I hope he's able to come here and y'all get to meet him. He's a good brother.
All right, Miguel.
That's just one of our needs. It just seems like God is trying to help us in the Boston area. Mm-hmm. All the way down to Delaware and Rhode Island. Brother Lionel's in Rhode Island.
Right.
And then Delaware's not too awful far from there. And then there's more Dominicans in Boston area than anywhere else in the United States, over 50,000 of them.
Wow.
And there's one town right next to Haverhill, Massachusetts, where Brother Rivera is. It's a whole Dominican town, Lawrence, Massachusetts. It's not 10 miles from Brother Rivera's.
Okay.
Brother Rivera's never really been able to tap into it. So we're trying to see if we can send Brother Joselo, who is in the New York area right now, but he's over here trying to get papers, and so we're going to try to see if he can work with Brother Rivera and maybe reach out there into Lawrence and see what God will do in that area. But there's several things we can't seem to get away from up in that area. So pray God will give us wisdom and open doors to know what the Lord wants.
Wants done.
For that.
Man.
Well, it'd be a blessing if we could get some Dominican churches in the United States that would support that work over there.
That's good.
Yeah, that'd be a blessing.
Be a blessing. Yeah, we're blessed to go to Brother Brother Lionel's church. Providence. And
Go over there?
Right. Well,
this is
back.
Yeah, when y'all was up in that area.
Right.
Yeah.
We went to his church, and they are. They're good people. Most of his people was from either Colombia, South Central America, and that Latino down there in that area, Central America. Brother Lionel. He had two different groups.
Some people in his church that speak Portuguese. Which it's pretty easy. It's real close to Spanish.
Right.
If you can understand Spanish, you can pretty well put it together, they say. So he's got three or four Portuguese people that speak Portuguese from, I think, Chile.
Brazil. And then Brazil speaks Portuguese?
Brazil speaks Portuguese, too. But I think Chile does, too. But There's another, Portugal's right above Chile, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If I got my geography right. Anyway, the Latin people, right now, the Latino people, God seems to be really reaching out to. So, of course, we got a big work going on in Cuba.
In Cuba.
You know, so God's really reaching out.
Got to broaden my vision. God knows about these people.
Some way we need to tap into them right here in Little Rock or everywhere, seems like. So
We
need to see if we can't get something going on that.
All right. So we got all these needs that we're going to pray about. So I guess the ushers come, we'll do the offering as well. And let's all stand and think about all these different needs and pray that God will help his people. These are God's people. Lord, we thank you for this day. That we come before you, Lord, with our needs.
I need your help, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, bless you. Oh, God, help us that our heart will reach out to your people, Lord. Their needs, Lord, help us. Each one, each request, Lord. These that's been mentioned here today, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for what you've already done, Lord. How you bless me. And help helped us already, Lord. We thank you. I ask that you touch him. Touch your people, oh God, today. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Help us in our hearts, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Each need. Yes, Lord. Help us. Oh, God, help us, Lord.
Lift her up, oh God. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord.
Daughters.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Yes, help each need, Lord. Oh, blessed be your holy name, Lord. Oh, God. Ministers, oh God. Meeting coming up in Oklahoma City, Lord. So that you help them.
Lord,
Jesus, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name. Praise your holy name.
Yes. Lift him up. Touch him.
Jesus.
Let your healing power.
Yes, yes. Thank you,
God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear God, dear God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God.
Thank you. I go but to the Lord? Tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul and needing a friend to take me in the end. Tell me, where could I go?
Seated for just a minute. They need about 5 or 10 more minutes down in the dining room. I hope you're staying for potluck dinner today. I always enjoy our dinners to the fellowship afterwards, after service. And I enjoyed this service today. We may not have had any teaching or preaching, but I enjoy the testimonies. People sharing their lives. It helps us to know one another better and feel for one another's situations and needs. And you know, everybody in here's got their testimony. I like that scripture in Revelations, the 12th chapter. I'm not just refer to it. Let me grab my Bible. I know y'all scared. That scares you, but I'm not gonna preach, because I've got this 10-minute deal on my mind. Brother Leninger, you know, I told y'all one time. Somebody asked me, said Brother Smith, we got about 15 minutes left. Said, could you say, give us something here? I started to get up. Brother Leninger reached over and grabbed me by the arm. He said, get somebody else. He's not a 15-minute preacher. That kind of embarrassed me, you know. I thought, I didn't say nothing, but I thought, well, I could just talk a few short minutes. That he wouldn't leave. He said, we're not chancing it. Not taking a chance on that. Anyway, but here in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, this is where this war in heaven took place, which, you know, some of the religious world thinks it's the angels up in heaven had a big war and a revolt, but this is talking about the New Testament church when Jesus said the dragon, let's see if we can get it, is it the third verse? Yeah, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And so it's talking about, it starts off talking about the woman with the 12 stars in her head, which was the church with the 12 apostles that was in the rulership of that church. And she was with child or bringing forth, you know, she had been impregnated with the word of God to bring forth, like this song we're singing, to be like Jesus. She's bringing forth others like Christ. And then another wonder in heaven, this great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the 17th chapter teaches us that those 7 heads are 7 world powers or kings of nations. And the 10 horns are the 10 kings that will take over in the last prophetical hour.
And but anyway, then in the seventh verse, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels. The name Michael means like God, and that's that was Jesus. He was like God. He was a we'll say it's his military name. He was just like God in his nature and character. And his angels, which is his ministry here on this earth, in the end of the Jewish world, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels. The dragon is civil power and religious power, which was Rome, and Judaism, which was the religion that came against Christ and the body of Christ, and that the end of that world. That was a war that went on and took place back there. They fought against the dragon. The dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. That was because, I've been telling them in the Dominican Republic, I said, there's been a lot of religion here. It's had influence over you people. But I said, I'm destroying that influence. Because I'm revealing to you it's false religion. And when you get that revelation and understand it, that to you was a heavenly influence. You felt it was from heaven. Now it's being revealed that it's not, and that casts that back into the earthly realm, and it has no more influence on you because you're getting a revelation of the truth of the Word of God and the difference between that and false religion. Or Babylon, what the Bible calls Babylon, which is confusion. So that's what happened back there. Jesus began to reveal that Judaism was in a fallen condition, was in a confused state, and it became like Babylon. People were captivated by that spirit of confusion and false ideology that the Jews had taken on in their religion. And when Jesus began to preach and his disciples got this revelation, they began to preach after Jesus left and came back on the day of Pentecost in the form of the Holy Ghost. And they began, the war was on because the religion back in that day was fighting against this body of Christ, trying to shut it up. But people was getting a revelation of the truth of God's Word and coming out of that system. And the ministry, everywhere Paul went, he got ran out of cities and went into jail, was beaten for preaching this message, but people still were getting blessed by it. Well, so in verse 9 says, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. They were just cast down. The influences of that was the people, when that was cast out of their thoughts and thinking and their respect to that false religious system, no longer was that a high influence, spiritual influence, or heavenly influence in their mind. Verse 10 said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. It's like Jesus asked his disciples when everybody went away. He was preaching such a strong message, and they all walked, and he turned around and looked at his disciples, and he said, y'all going to go too? And they said, where would we go? Where would we go? Thou only hast the words of eternal life. And so, it said, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accusers of our brothers cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That scripture right there, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Well, that's the scripture I've been using to tell you that this is your testimony. Nobody else has your testimony. Nobody else can live your testimony. Nobody else
knows what God's doing in your life and in your heart. He's working something in every one of our lives individually that we can't share it all. It's too big to share every detail, every thought, every facet, everything God... We don't even know what all God's doing in our lives all the time. We have to sometimes wait and see what God did. But it's your testimony. God's working it out. You're working out... We sing that song, working the road that leads to heaven's abode. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's my salvation. You can't have mine. You got to get yours. And so God's working something in every one of our lives, but we're connected in this. It's God working something in your life. What He's working in your life has an effect on mine. We need each other. We need the unity of what God's doing, because it adds everyone's part, everybody's membership. At least in this joint. You know, we're a joint in the body. The human body's made up of joints. That finger right there's got three of them. I'm not a medical doctor, but I think there's three joints right there. There's another one back here behind it. I know that. I've got one finger. I don't know if this happens. I've never had this happen, so I think it has to do with old age. But I've got something. If this one finger, when it pops right there, and when it opens, it jumps open. And there's something back here causing that. I've been wondering about that for the last month or two because it just started. But there's a joint back here that's connected to these three joints. Anyway. Only that finger knows what's going on in that joint. My whole body knows it's happening to it, but I only feel it in that joint. Well, every joint, every one of us is part of a connection in the body of Christ. And this here's a little joint in it. This makeup here of what God's put us in this, we're part of the joint. See, if you're part of this hand, well, you're part of this joint right here, and then there's other joints in this. So if you're in the band, you might be in another joint. You might be in this joint, but you're in this joint too, see, because you're down in that joint. But if you're on this elbow, if you hit this elbow down, well, you're connected that way. So the body's made up of joints. Every joint is to supply in the effectual working of every part. So we're all got a part. And if you're connected, if I'm connected to the joint you're connected to, then I'm connected to you, and I need you. Because we're working together. We're working together in here. And so, Brother Paul, I'm for you. Only, you know, just keep inviting them. You put enough worms in the water, you'll get somebody on the hook after a while. You know, you can't catch fish without fishing. You got to go fishing. And you can't catch them without bait. You know, I never will forget when Brother Lionel was living, when he first came to America, and he was living with us in Springfield, Missouri. And he had two or three dreams. And, you know, he had a dream that he was fishing in a boat. And these other guys was in the boat, and they was fishing, they was catching fish. And he said, I didn't catch no fish. And he said, I was fishing, but I had a hook, but I didn't have no bait. And he said, I didn't catch nothing. I told him, I said, you got a lot of zeal and you want to fish. You know, he felt called to the ministry. But I said, you don't have any bait to fish with yet. And God's trying to tell you it ain't time for you to go fishing. Well, he didn't listen to me. He had two or three dreams like that. Anyway, he went on down there into Providence, Rhode Island, and he can gather people. You know, there's fish in the water. You can get your boat around where fish are, and you can throw your hook in where they're at. But and he can gather people, but he can't keep them. He don't have no bait. He doesn't have enough bait. Well, he's finally get there probably, but he could have he could have probably done a lot better job if he'd have sat down and let me load him up with some bait. Help him, let me take him to the worm yard and show him how to get bait and fill his bucket full of worms and learn that, you know, some fish won't eat worms. You got to catch grasshoppers, catch some kind of fish. Some fish, you need a minnow. Some you need, you know, something else. Cricket, you need a crawdad or something else. Some big fish eats little fish. You got to know what kind of bait to use. So if you're a fisherman, you have to study. You can use artificial lures if it's close enough to bait. Sometimes you can bait somebody with something that just sounds like what they're used to eating. You know, you got to know how. You can be harmless as a serpent, wise as a dove. Sometimes you have to use artificial bait to catch some people. Some fish, you know, they're eating something they're used to, and it ain't in here. So you kind of got to camouflage it just a little bit to get them to eat it. Anyway, thank God dinner's ready. Aren't you glad? Amen. All right. Well, tonight service did we call a youth service for tonight? We didn't. Potluck Days Youth Night. Well, we can call it now. So let's have youth service tonight and let the youth. God, yes, I think it could be on potluck dinner day. We could just go back to having our youth service like we used to have. And Lord seems to bless that. Seems like our youth needs that. And we need them. We want to keep doing that till they get to where they feel like every night's youth night. Every service is youth service. You know, they got a part. Y'all are in this joint. You know. It's like a song. I heard a song the other day. I'm not too much on listening to the radio. In fact, I almost never turn it on. But I heard a song the other day where a guy was, it seemed like, I just caught part of this song, but it seemed like he met this woman that was in a country club. And he sings country music. And so he wanted to do something in that country club with her. And she told him he wasn't a member. He told him he was a member of a country club. I don't know if y'all have heard that or not. I'm a member of a country club, he was singing. He's trying to get in so he could have something to do with her, sound like to me. Anyway, I just caught that much of it. But... Well, I know y'all laughing, thinking he's an old man, don't know what he's going on. But anyway, y'all are member. Y'all are members of this deal, you young people. And we want you to have a part. Praise God. All right, let's stand and ask the Lord to bless the food and bless the service tonight. And give him a praise for his goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, God, for your mercy, your grace. Oh, God, we appreciate your workings in our life, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help us, oh, God. Encourage us. Help us to develop, God, to the places. This is working in a greater way in our lives. Touch our young people here today. And this service tonight, we pray. Amen. Bless the food and the fellowship here today. Amen. All right, God bless you. Stay and eat. No band practice tonight.